KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies. It's 26 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be cloudy here today, a high of 31. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In the news this hour, an alternative farmer here in western Iowa who tends an apple orchard and raises peacocks and bees is appealing to state leaders to enact tighter restrictions on crop dusters, who he claims destroyed much of his four-acre farm. Dennis Fett of rural Minden said the problem with drifting chemicals has been going on for decades, but last year was the worst.
We've been on our property since 1987, and starting in 1992, we have been pretty much violated by drifting of unwanted farm pesticides, fungicides, insecticides, and herbicides.
That says he built a tall fence which kept out most of the ground sprayed chemicals, but then neighboring farmers started hiring crop dusters. In July of 2018, he says his property was oversprayed three times.
It pretty well destroyed all our fruit in our fruit orchard. It destroyed our chemical-free garden, and one of them violated the bee rule, spraying insecticides within a mile of a registered beehive, which ours are, and it also caused neurological problems and death of some of our baby peacocks.
Fett says he's appealing to Iowa's Secretary of Agriculture as well as to members of the legislature to look at the rules regulating crop dusters and overspraying.
If they look at increasing the fine structure, if they're given a civil penalty from $500 to $1,000, or maybe even $5,000 or more, that might discourage these crop dusters who come from out of state and are here 6 weeks or so and leave their dangerous chemicals on off-target places such as my place.
Fett says the State Pesticide Bureau has reported a 50% increase in overspraying cases during 2018, and he says it's baffling why more farmers aren't raising a fuss about the problem.
The farmers are spending thousands of dollars to get their crops sprayed either for herbicides or insecticides, but when they're drifting off target like they have on my property, they're not getting their money's worth. So I'm proposing that the farmers should ask these people who will overspray to give them all of their money back when they violate the law.
Fett says he's very concerned about the coming spraying and the potential spraying around his acreage of the chemical dicamba, which may kill anything left on his farm. Well, officials of the Lus Hills, Missouri River region say they will share the accomplishments of 2018 with the public during a year-in-review celebration at Uncle Buck's Grill and Bass Pro Shops in Council Bluffs on Friday, March the 8th from 4 until 5 p.m. It's been nearly 1 year since Governor Reynolds, the Iowa Parks Foundation, and the Lus Hills, Missouri River region board and stakeholders gathered at the Fieldhouse in Council Bluffs to announce Mid-American Energy Foundation's $500 million commitment to the Lus Hills, Missouri River region Parks to People Plan. And the board has been busy with regional priority projects ever since. The Lus Hills, Missouri River region Parks to People Plan was created by a group of stakeholders from Harrison, Mills, and Pottawatomie counties and the Friends of Lake Manawa, who first assembled in 2014. The plan, in partnership with the Iowa Parks Foundation, supports collaborative regional projects to enhance economic development and tourism, public health and social vitality, natural resources, parks and trails, and overall regional vibrancy. The initiative tends to attract and retain young people interested in an active lifestyle, which they say will stimulate Iowa's economy and promote business growth. The primary goal is to offer a fully connected 21st century parks system in time for the Iowa Parks Centennial in 2020. In 2018, the LHMRR board officially designated its first round of priority projects for funding from the Mid-American Energy Foundation's $500,000 challenge grants to the Parks to People Plan. $338,000 has been dedicated toward the following priority projects: Harrison County Conservation Board's Willow Lake Nature Center and Overland Hiking Trail, Lake Manawa's Dream Playground, Mills County Trails Board's Glenwood Trail Project, Mills County Conservation Board Poting Creek Expansion, Lewis and Clark Today Route Signage, and the Green Hills Ranch Conservation Area. The project represents over $10.6 million in planned recreational improvements to the Tri-County region. To date, over $5 million of this has been secured or pledged towards implementation. The public is invited to attend the year-in-review celebration. Again, that's on March the 8th. And during the event, you'll hear a history of the initiative, review an outline of the process for setting priority projects, and receive an overview progress report on the current priority projects, and see the unveiling of a conceptual design for the new logo, branding, and website. Project leaders will be available to answer questions and provide information about the priority projects. The LHMRR is coordinated by the nonprofit Golden Hills RC&D organization. For more information, you can go to goldenhillsrcd.org/LHMRR. There is a link to that under this same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Elsewhere in the news, the Atlantic Police Department yesterday had reported three recent arrests. On Monday, 38-year-old Sonia Mills of Atlantic was arrested on a Cass County warrant for failure to appear in court. Tuesday, 20-year-old Ethan Urlacher of Atlantic was arrested on a Cass County warrant for probation violation. And 41-year-old Jason Albert of Atlantic was arrested for OWI and child endangerment Tuesday. All three subjects were booked into the Cass County jail. The Creston Police Department today reports two recent arrests. Around 3:25 this morning, 29-year-old Derek Jason Noble of Raymore, Missouri, was arrested in the 100 block of North Elm Street in Creston for public intoxication. His bond was set at $300. And just before 11 p.m. Wednesday, 31-year-old Jeffrey Michael Donald Drake of Creston was arrested at his home on a Union County warrant for domestic abuse assault. Drake was being held without bond at the Union County Jail pending an appearance before the magistrate. Police in Glenwood yesterday said 27-year-old Zachary Coddington of Red Oak was arrested Tuesday on charges. Coddington was taken into custody for interference with official acts, bodily injury, and possession of contraband in a correctional facility. His cash or surety bond was set at $6,000 on the charges, plus $2,000 bond for a warrant out of Montgomery County. Sheriff's officials in Pottawatomie County yesterday said also that there had been two recent arrests. At around 7:50 p.m. on Tuesday, 29-year-old Marshall Fisher of Avoca was arrested for driving while barred, and a traffic stop on a speeding car at around 8:30 a.m. Monday on Interstate 80 in Council Bluffs resulted in the arrest of 31-year-old Lindsey Hagen in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. During the traffic stop, a police service dog conducted a free air sniff around the vehicle and alerted to the odor of narcotics. A probable cause search of the car was conducted, during which 13.5 pounds of marijuana was found. Hagen was arrested for possession with the intent to deliver marijuana. Page County Sheriff Lyle Palmer yesterday reports that at around 10:30 Wednesday morning, deputies arrested 67-year-old Linda Francel Lauber. The woman was taken into custody at the sheriff's office on a Page County warrant for theft in the fifth degree, failure to appear. Lauber immediately posted a $300 bond and was released pending further court proceedings. The Mills County Sheriff's Office yesterday said 26-year-old Justin Marsden of Red Oak had been arrested Tuesday afternoon at the Sheriff's Office. Marsden was taken into custody on a warrant for probation violation, the bond for which was set at $5,000. And at around 1:15 a.m. Wednesday, 25-year-old Erica Bikerk of Omaha was arrested following a traffic stop. She was taken into custody on a Pott County warrant for failure to appear in court. Bond was set at $2,000. Mills County also said that an accident 8:15 p.m. Tuesday resulted in an injury. 26-year-old Alex Hurd of Malvern was transported by Malvern Rescue to Joliet and Council Bluffs after the 2000 Plymouth he was driving was struck on the passenger side by a 2014 Chevy. The accident happened when the Chevy, driven by 42-year-old Eric Bach of Council Bluffs, failed to stop at the posted intersection. Bach was cited for failure to yield upon entering a through highway. And 26-year-old Justin Carlson of Villisca was arrested Tuesday by Mills County Sheriff's deputies, or rather Montgomery County Sheriff's deputies, on a valid warrant for disorderly conduct. Carlson was transported to the Montgomery County Jail and held on a $1,000 bond. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a former state worker of Iowa who used the words in Christ in his work emails has lost his lawsuit against the state. A federal grand jury in Sioux City found Wednesday that the State Department of Human Services did not fail to accommodate Michael Mial's religious practices. Mial sued the department and several individuals at the sex offender unit in Cherokee in January of 2017, saying his firing violated his rights to free speech and religion. The lawsuit said Mael, a psychiatry security specialist, was fired in April 2016 after a performance review in which supervisors told him his religious faith was beneficial to patients at the sex offender unit, but they asked him to keep his religion separate from his work because he'd been using In Christ in the personalized signature block that appeared in internal emails that were sent to other employees. And a former building inspector says in his lawsuit that he was fired for reporting code violations that the mayor and other officials in Sergeant Bluff told him to ignore. David Christensen said in his lawsuit that Mayor John Winkle and others conspired to fire him for reporting code violations that endangered public safety. He's seeking a jury trial and an award of damages for back pay, loss of salary and benefits, and additional punitive damages. The lawsuit was filed last week in Woodbury County District Court. Winkle said the city does not comment on pending litigation, but he did say, quote, "Our story will be quite different from what you hear or heard on the other side." That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.